Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, according to the World Health Organization, it's the leading cause of death worldwide, but heart disease is so common, it can be hard to tell whether your own family history is a result of genetics or environmental factors. So here to tell us how to spot the difference and keep your own heart safe is preventative cardiologist at the BlackRock Clinic, Dr. Paddy Barrett. You're very welcome. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
So what are the key things that you're looking for if you're assessing somebody's family history?
Yeah, so the way to approach this is go on a layered basis. Everyone's saying, listen, heart disease in my family, I'm worried. So you have to approach this in a very structured fashion. Number one, heart disease is very common. So the likelihood of it being in your family is just very common. The second thing is to say that heart disease is an umbrella term. Heart disease, in about 90% of cases, will typically mean heart disease like coronary artery disease or plaque buildup, but it can mean other things, congenital conditions. It can mean inherited disorders of heart muscle. So we have to be quite precise in terms of, are you dealing with plaque buildup, heart attacks? Because if someone says, you know, my dad had a heart attack at 50 and his dad had a heart attack at 50, it's quite clear that that problem we're dealing with is heart disease in terms of coronary artery disease. Mm-hmm. But if it's my cousin died suddenly in their sleep at 26 years of age, very, very different workup. And we have to be very, very clear what we're talking about.
So the first example you used there, would that typify an alarming family history for you?
Yes. And so there's no clear cutoff here. But in general, what we talk about an early family history of heart disease is a female developing coronary artery disease at less than 65 years of age and a male at less than 55 years of age. So that's a broad cutoff, or roughly under 60 years of age for anyone is early.
Mm-hmm. But if somebody's coming to you with that family history and they forget to tell you that mammy or daddy smoked, for example, then that's going to change the picture too.
Of course. So the first thing is that heart disease can run in family, but in families, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's genetic. So there's lots of different patterns of behavior. As we said, if everyone in the family is a smoker, it doesn't necessarily imply that you're dealing with a genetic form of heart disease. Mm-hmm. The second thing, and that's really important to note for people, is that just because there may be a genetic form of heart disease in your family doesn't mean that you've inherited it. So there is a probabilistic element here. And then lastly, even if there is a genetic family history and you have inherited it, it does not necessarily mean that you will express the disease. So you may carry the risk factor, which does up your risk, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will develop the same pattern of disease that a family member had. So what I mean by that is that family history is probabilistic, but not deterministic.
Okay, so what then if you have this additional risk, what can you do about that?
So the answer is a lot. So we know broadly that if you have a higher genetic risk, as defined by multiple genetic risk factors, if you engage in all the appropriate lifestyle factors, you can reduce your risk by about 50%. So that's the really encouraging thing to say. The second thing is that the factors that often drive a genetic risk factor for early heart disease can be identified and managed at an early time point to substantially reduce that risk. Mm-hmm. So again, it increases the risk, but that risk can be reduced.
Okay, now we have listener questions, as we always do when you're here, Paddy. This listener has recently been diagnosed with an enlarged heart at the age of 65. I'm on medication. I've been told to lose weight. Is this complaint life-threatening?
So in general, it depends. And having any chronic medical condition, particularly coronary artery disease, has the significant potential to shorten your life. So that's why we put such emphasis on actually preventing or delaying it to as late as possible in life. But with the therapies and therapies options we have available to us, the impact on potential shortening of life can be substantially reduced or even eliminated for many people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have another listener who has been diagnosed with CAD. What is that?
CAD is coronary artery disease.
Okay.
So it is the documented evidence of plaque in the coronary arteries.
So they just say that they don't know how serious the condition is for them. There was no other appointment after this diagnosis which came to the GP via cardiology department. Just a note to the GP that if she had questions to contact the department. So what should they do next?
So again, we have to realize that coronary artery disease is inevitable for almost everyone over a long enough time horizon. So when you are diagnosed with coronary artery disease or plaque in your coronary arteries, really does matter in terms of the life cycle of the disease. We know that 50% of males by age 54 will have evidence of advanced plaque, and the same is true for females in their mid-60s. So the second thing is the amount of plaque that you have, the amount of coronary artery disease is directly related to the risk that you carry. So the more plaque, the higher the risk. And in simple terms, basically, you can't die from a condition that you don't have. But the more plaque you have, the higher the risk. But even if you do have plaque, even if you do have extensive plaque, there are lots and lots of things we can do from a lifestyle and a medications point of view to reduce the risk of that plaque causing a heart attack. So the key thing here is when we talk about coronary artery disease as heart disease doesn't kill people. Heart attacks kill people.
Okay. So that person should go back to the GP and seek a referral. Is that what you're recommending?
No, I think the primary care is ideally suited here for putting in place the management strategy around stable coronary artery disease. So if you just have some plaque in your coronary arteries, that's not particularly uncommon. Getting really good control over activity levels, weight, blood pressure, diabetes status, for example, cholesterol levels. These are things that primary care physicians are very, very good at. And basically, then it's up to you to say, listen, how aggressively do you want to position yourself in terms of risk reduction?
Okay, this next one then relates directly to family history. My mum died of heart disease, went into heart failure. My father died of a massive heart attack. I have one brother who has a number of blockages and an irregular heartbeat. I'm in my late 40s. If I am to get tests, what type of specialist should I see and what tests do I need to get done? First off, are you saying that person should get some help here with this?
Well, yeah, I think that pretty much everyone, given the prevalence of the disease, getting towards midlife should have a basic level of assessment. But the real fundamentals actually what matter most here. Number one, a standard cholesterol panel. Do you have a very high level of cholesterol? So we're not talking about kind of total cholesterols in 5 and 6. We're talking about total cholesterols of 8, 9, 10 or familial hyperlipidemia. It's present in about kind of 1 in 300 people. But something that's actually 10 times more common is a genetic cholesterol particle disorder called Lp(a). So this is super common. You know loads of people who have it, but they don't know that they have it. The problem is that it's rarely tested for. And so when I hear the story of dad had a heart attack at 45 and his brother had a heart attack at 45, this genetic cholesterol disorder of Lp(a) is the first thing that I think about. We're going to see this increasingly tested because there are therapy options coming down the line, but it can often be the very clear, definitive explanation as to why someone has the risk. And just because you can't lower the Lp(a) doesn't mean that you can't reduce risk. Mm-hmm. The other thing is do they have early diabetes? What is their blood pressure? We have very, very strong evidence. Controlling risk factors, both lifestyle and with medications, can substantially reduce risk. And the simple things probably matter the most.
Can your GP check for Lp(a)?
So the answer is mixed here. Some GPs can and some GPs can't based on the testing labs that they have available to them. And so this is quite a contentious issue in terms of getting it done. There are some private companies that offer blood testing that can offer Lp(a) testing, but often it has to be done in a hospital-based lab.
Okay, a quick one before we finish. My mum died after several strokes. She never smoked or drank. So how at risk am I, says Sabrina?
So same thing. Basically, strokes are typically to do with plaque in the cerebrovascular system, so that the head and neck, similar principles apply, and also whether they actually have an irregular heart rhythm disorder called atrial fibrillation, which can be easily tested as well in the community.
But you'd need to know more about that situation before you could say, Sabrina, you might be at risk here.
Correct. And I think that's why a kind of a first conversation with your primary care doctor to tease out those answers that we talked about at the start are the absolute key to starting this conversation.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody is worried about the family history, they may be worried needlessly because there could be all sorts of environmental and lifestyle factors at play there that cause that situation to happen. That may not mean that you're in the same boat at all.
Correct.
Okay, a few more seconds. My dad is an active 84-year-old who had stents fitted 10 years ago. I'm a 60-year-old male. I don't drink, smoke, do drugs of any kind. I do loads of exercise and all the rest. But the last time they were in at the GP, an intern commented that there's evidence to suggest my level of exercise could be detrimental to my heart health rather than beneficial. And this listener is flummoxed.
So we have very clear evidence that high levels of exercise is associated with probably the longest lifespans in terms of the least early mortality. There is some evidence that at very, 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 very high levels of exercise, which is very rare for most people, it can cause some atrial fibrillation. So not an issue in my view.
Okay, not an issue. Keep going with the exercise. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Paddy Barrett.